90-day shareholder review process.
I need you to wrap up because we got a lot of people signed up.
But I'm very interested that, in what you have and to we say. Support if it. You could send in what you have, I'd really appreciate it.
I will gladly do that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ms. Gomez.
Good afternoon. Buenas tardes, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Cynthia Gomez, representing the Latino Network. The Latino Network provides transformative opportunities, services, and advocacy for the education, leadership, and civic engagement of our youth, families, and communities, our vision of a thriving Latino community that is respected and engaged. So it is with this in mind that we are here today. The Latino community in Multnomah County is growing rapidly, making up 12% of the population. The Latino Network has worked for the past 3 years to bridge understanding between police and community members in an effort to end fear, stereotyping, and prevent racial profiling from occurring. The experiences of many of our participants have been described as transformational and educational. Despite changes in the use of force policy and a decline in use of deadly force by the police, the death of Aaron Campbell has highlighted serious weaknesses in current police practices for vulnerable people and people of color, and raises questions about the independent police review scope, process, and authority. We know that the policy being put forward today is with the highest and best intent for a fairer and more equitable review. Yet we are concerned about the lack of community input and the short timeline to deliberate these important matters. The Auditor's Office is a symbol of transparency and accountability in government, so we appreciate her acknowledgement about the lack of involvement to the CRC. We hope that in the future, greater importance is placed in the role of the CRC as the official representatives of the community in the independent review process. Moving forward, we ask you and the Auditor's Office to include the voices of the community in any current and future policy changes that impact our communities. Additionally, we support the inclusion of an appropriate review period for this policy to assess its impact. Diverse perspectives bring about better policy for all of us. We appreciate your willingness today to step forward with proposed improvements. We hope for a permanent seat at the table. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Handelman.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Leonard, Saltzman, Fish, and Fritz. The proposals before you to strengthen the independent... Oh, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. Thank you. The proposal before you to strengthen the Independent Police Review Division are a good start, but do not go far enough, as you've heard from others. We are willing to support these first-step changes so long as the amendment requiring counsel to consider further insight changes is also adopted, which you've adopted. So now we're hoping the whole thing will be adopted as a package. Not everybody knows the history of civilian oversight in Portland. In 1982, after City Council passed an ordinance to create what was then called the Police Internal Investigations Auditing Committee, or PIAC, the police union forced that ordinance onto the ballot and outspent the proponents of civilian review 5-1, but still passed by a very narrow margin. In the late 1990s, after City Council, which was hearing appeals at that time, after a 13-member citizen advisory board had voted on them, they recommended sustaining complaints 3 times to the police chief, who then refused to accept those findings, which led to the creation of a mayor's work group in the year 2000, which I sat on and several other people you're hearing from today sat on that work group. We created a majority report that called for a fully independent review board that handled civilian complaints against police without necessarily turning them over to police internal affairs, which is one of the most frequent concerns we hear about the review system. Then Auditor Gary Blackmer took those recommendations and stripped many of the majority report's provisions, creating the IPR. After community outcry caused by the death of Jose Mejia Pote, council forced Auditor Blackmer to make a provision for IPR to review shootings and deaths, which led to the outside expert Park reports. When the ordinance passed in June 2001, council promised the community to revisit the system within a year to see if it was working. The revisiting did not come for 6.5 years when Eileen Luna Firebaugh's report came out. And she called for the IPR to do independent investigations. That was 2 years ago. And now it's 9 years since the creation of the IPR, and we're finally seeing some positive changes. And I have to tell you, it's a very big change from when Auditor Blackmer was here running the show, and I really appreciate that. Unfortunately, even if all these changes are made, though, they do not address all the concerns from the community, and most significantly, it leaves in place the underlying structure of the police investigating police in most cases. You file your complaint with this independent office, they turn it over to internal affairs in 90% of the cases unless the IPR decides to do independent investigation. We acknowledge the IPR as being given the authority in the case that the police union contract is modified, that they will be able to compel officer testimony when they do their independent investigation, which is a huge step in the right direction. That contract is currently up for review, and the council needs to ensure not only that IPR can compel officer testimony, but that they also be able to investigate and review shootings and deaths in custody cases, which is currently prohibited in the union contract. We are pleased that it's going to codify the IPR's authority to review any complaint involving police-citizen interactions, that you're giving IPR subpoena power, but you really need to take the money that's being paid for the internal affairs investigators now, other than cases that are just police complaining about other police, take that money and give it to the IPR so they can hire their own investigators.
Thank you, Mr. Henneman. Thank you all for your testimony. So just a time check so everyone has appropriate level of expectations. Given the number of people that have signed up, it looks like testimony will go for about 3 hours. So if you're at the bottom of the list, I just want you to know what we're looking at for time sequence. Ms. Bowman?
Next three are Joanne Bowman, Mark Knutson, and Debbie Iona.
And then?
They'll be followed by Robert Weisner, Andrea Meyer, and Jason Renaud. Joanne.
Welcome back.
Mark Knutson.
I don't see him here.
Let's go with Debbie Iona.
I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie. Robin Weisner. Thank you. Ursula Anderson will be in the next group.
Okay. Great.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay.
Ms. Bowman.
Ah, okay. Hello, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, my name is Joanne Bowman. I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Action and a member of the AMA, Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I want to start with a story. I heard a story at the CRC community meeting on Sunday that I want to share with you. Hillsborough police were called out to a home. There was a gentleman that they encountered that was in full military gear, and had a Moltovo cocktail that he threw at the officers. The officers backed up to avoid being hit by that cocktail. The gentleman went into the barn and grabbed another one. The two police officers were able to get control of the situation, hold on to the individual, and take him to the Veterans Administration for treatment. I ask you to consider what would have happened if Portland police officers had been called out on that same call. I suspect that the results would have been a lot different. They are trained to understand how to identify people with mental health illness, and they respond accordingly, and that's in Hillsborough. Now to my written testimony. Told you who I was. I want to applaud the leadership of Commissioner Randy Leonard in presenting today's ordinance as well as the amendments that have been presented today. I appreciate the thoughtfulness of Commissioner Leonard, the IPR director, and the auditor to begin to address the concerns of the community as it relates to police oversight. As I've paid attention to the media coverage over the last week, there have been several suggestions to delay the vote today on this ordinance. I would like to address why today is the day to pass this ordinance and why delay is not an option. Chief Sizer is out of town. While it is true that Chief Sizer is out of town, the police chief has had many opportunities to offer suggestions and input on holding Portland police officers accountable for their behavior, yet she has failed to do so. Delay in implementation to hear the chief's to hear from the chief is unnecessary since the ordinance creates an oversight committee that will take testimony and report back to this full body within 90 days. More public input. The City Council and the Portland Police Bureau have for years received public input that has made recommendations for fundamental changes throughout the Portland Police Bureau. The Human Relations This ordinance is one small piece of the institutional change that needs to take place at the Portland Police Bureau. The Human Relations Committee is not recognized as an organization that is seeking justice for the community. In fact, the Community and Police Relations Subcommittee has gone out of its way to ensure that police are comfortable on the committee, not the public.
Would you like to summarize?
I'd like to summarize by saying over 2,500 community members have been on the street over the last month. The community is paying attention. The community wants us to pass this now. And I want to also be clear that this is not the end. This is the beginning. We have to reform the Citizen Review Committee. We have to revise how community complaints are collected and analyzed. We need to revise the union contract to make sure that annual evaluations, drug testing, and other issues are addressed. And we need to revise the police bureau's use of force directives to ensure that deadly force is only used as the last resort. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Ms. Adam.
I'm Debbie. Good afternoon. I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League has taken a keen interest in the city's police oversight system for nearly 30 years. An effective oversight system can increase public understanding of police policies and procedures, discourage misconduct through retraining and discipline, and improve police procedures by recommending policy changes. The proposal submitted by the Auditor and Commissioner Leonard includes a number of important improvements, but much more needs to be done. The League supports creation of the Police Review Board and the addition of the IPR Director as a voting member. We especially welcome the requirement for regular public reports summarizing the Board's statements of findings and concerns about training and investigations, but encourage the addition of policy recommendations to the report. Setting firm deadlines for investigations of alleged misconduct and adhering to them should increase community satisfaction. We are pleased to see that the IPR will have authority over cases involving community members, regardless of whether the Bureau initiates the complaint. There are, however, areas where the revision should have gone further, and we outlined those in our written comments. For example, the 2008 IPR performance review points out that, although IPR has the authority to conduct independent investigations, it never has. That fact has not changed since the report was issued. Many community members do not trust the police to investigate their complaints. The IPR performance review recommended that specific types of cases be investigated routinely by IPR. An area of particular interest to the League is greater transparency and public participation in policy development. The proposed ordinance incorporates elements that will increase public access to information, and we applaud those additions. How individual police officers act in specific circumstances is guided by policy. The public should have a more active role in policy development. This can be accomplished in a number of ways, including opening Police Bureau IPR task force meetings to public attendance and soliciting CRC and public input on police directives. Bureau policy should reflect not only good policing techniques, but community values as well. The League encourages Council to look upon enactment of this proposal as a first step. We support the amendment creating a stakeholder group responsible for recommending additional improvements to the system, including correcting problems identified in this proposal. Thank you for considering our views.
Mayor, may I clarify something? Ms. Iona,
yes.
We got a letter from you today. A four-page letter with, and this contains the League of Women Voters' proposed changes going forward. These are things you want us to consider to,
exactly.
to strengthen this proposed ordinance.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Reisner.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council, all the commissioners. I'm going to do a little different here than what I would do. As a pastor, you're always told to keep your notes in front of you, but today I'm going to do this from my heart. I want to thank you again for considering this vote today, and it is something that's needed now. I want to speak from my experience. When I moved to the city of Portland, I was excited about moving here. One incident that took place in Northeast Portland was where that the city police came out into Northeast Portland, and it was shut down due to there was a situation where that there was a party that was supposed to be taking place. At that time, I lived on the corner of Prescott and Martin Luther King. When I came outside my house to see what was going on, the community was full with police. Chief Moose was the office chief at the time. As we walked outside, citizens and senior citizens, to see what was going on outside our door, I walked to the corner, and then we heard an officer say, "Clear the sidewalk." As we began to move off the sidewalk and walk back toward our home, what wound up happening, two gentlemen came around the corner that did not hear the command. At that time, an officer was startled, turned around, and shot with his bean bag. At that time, another officer turned and pointed a rifle at me. I did not know it was a bean bag. And he begins to point and get ready to shoot myself. At that time, I began to scream out loud, how dare bring guns into our community when we're trying to get them out. I was afraid at that point for my life. What I like to say again to speak for those who do not come today, those who are not here today, and let you know that this is the reason why a vote must be done today. This is why it must take place today. I crossed Martin Luther King on the corner of 6th and Prescott, and think of it could have been my memorial. Mm-hmm. How is it that an officer can look through a rifle, pull a trigger, and not think about my friends or my family, the people that I love? It would have been the end of my life if he had pulled that trigger. So this is why we need this something to happen today. This is not something that need to be delayed. This is an urgent matter today. I want to thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank all of you for your testimony. Carla?
Andrea Meyer, Jason Renaud, and Bishop A.A. Wells.
And the three after that?
Will be Ursula Anderson, Veronica Clark, and Sally Yojin.
Yojin?
Yojin.
Okay.
Jason Renaud here. Let's go ahead and go with Ursula Anderson. Thank you.
Ms. Anderson?
And we'll add Michael Bingham to the next group.
Welcome to the City Council. We're glad that you're here. Ms. Meyer.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Andre Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon, here today in support of the efforts that are being put forward by Commissioner Randy Leonard and the auditor. We join others in support that this is a good start and that there are changes that still need to come. We particularly commend the testimony of the League of Women Voters and the details they've set out. We know that this is a difficult subject, but we also hope this is the beginning of an ongoing effort by City Council to strengthen and empower the IPR process with preference towards codifying requirements in ordinance, to strengthen the authority of the Citizens Review Committee, and look forward to council and community participation in CRC subcommittee recommendations, and to continue on an ongoing basis an evaluation of all the moving parts, the IPR, CRC, IAD, the Police Bureau, policies, procedures, and directives, through ordinances as well as protocols and procedures to ensure meaningful and effective civilian oversight. The most effective civilian oversight will meet the following critical goals. It will increase the public's confidence that law enforcement is professional and responsive to the concerns of the public for both safety and justice. It provides a readily accessible, responsive, and independent process for pursuing complaints that are fair to both the complainants and police officers. And it continuously identifies, reviews, and makes recommendations on Police Bureau policies and practices that should be an open, transparent process. In some cases, the CRC and IPR have lacked the authority to implement these goals, and in other cases, that authority has not been used. Council must remain active in ensuring that the powers it gives are used on a regular basis, and if not, council needs to demand accountability and, if necessary, make appropriate new changes. A few specifics that we have that we want to point out, and hopefully it will continue as part of the work group. Investigations in the issue of civil liability. We support immediate action on a complaint or a community concern complaint-initiated investigations, regardless of whether or not there is exposure to civil liability or an ongoing civil case. We believe the authority is there. We want to make sure it's clear in the ordinance. Expeditious Investigations Exhibit B of the ordinance talks about not taking more than 24 months to initiate an investigation. I believe the intention is to not have that more, but that more quicker action should be taken if a complaint is instigated in the first month, and hopefully language that would instigate a 30-day or some other quick action, not to exceed 24 months, but to have some good language. The definition of standard of review, we support changing it from reasonable person to preponderance of evidence. One thing I want to quickly touch on, I hope I have enough time because I want to try to identify this issue, is the sections B and C on page 4 of Exhibit C talk about council accessing data and records. And it says written, IPR shall also have direct access to original database sources as permitted by statute and federal law. This language is unclear, and I want to make sure that council knows when the state law or federal laws would be invoked and what problems that might arise for the IPR getting that information and what steps you might need to take to make sure that information will flow. And it's unclear from, and I think you need to know what that is.
And I know her time's expired, Mayor, but I've had this conversation with Andrea, and I'd like her to finish. These are thoughtful comments that I think are helpful in our deliberations.
Thank you, and I will be brief because there are others. I also want to make sure enough time is taken to look at the subpoena power and immunity issues and make sure whatever council does is constitutional and withstands any challenges. That's critical. The community concern addition is important, allowing investigations to be instigated by the IPR for community concern. We would hope that you would add, and I've set them forth in my testimony, the list of examples. That would not be an exhaustive list, but it's really important to include the list of high-profile shootings, deaths, racial profiling, and so on as a definition of community concern. Right now, your ordinance doesn't define that term. And then, again, we would join the efforts of the composition of the Police Review Board. There are 13 members, 8 advisory, all city employees, and 5 voting, and only 1 in non-force as a resident community member. And we would encourage expanding. We look forward to the opportunity to discuss this further and make even better improvements. Thank you.
And if you could submit your testimony.
I did. You should have received a copy of my testimony.
There. We will very shortly.
Yeah. So hopefully that's documented.
That's what I was going to ask. I was hoping. Does the testimony track all the points you've raised?
It does.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bishop Wells, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Bishop A.E. Wells. Mayor Adams and members of this council, I want to thank you for this opportunity to address you with respect to this pending ordinance and its passage. The IRP has been a long concern of citizens in this community because it has been seen as somewhat a buffer between them and undesirable law enforcement where abuse has occurred. This particular initiative, I want to appreciate Commissioner Leonard for taking the initiative to put this forth at this time. That's because in a number of shootings going way back from Kendra James and their since, to a person it is said it should not have happened. Yet nothing is ever done to keep it from happening again. And while we recognize that the city council is only one of those institutions and one of those fronts that impact upon the conduct of officers today, they must not pass by the opportunity that you now have to speak to this. We realize the legislation needs to do something, the Bureau itself, the Police Bureau, but your vote today says to the citizen that walks the street who's in fear for his life when a police drive up beside him. It says that you care and you're concerned about his life and you're concerned about his well-being. So we asked you to consider taking this action today. It's because that without you speaking, there's not been before you such an ordinance or an initiative over the last number of years. Dan Hanneman testified to that. But you have a chance today to say to that citizen, we care and we're concerned. Now, I know there's discussion about whether we delay this. I trust you do not delay it. We've looked over these conditions for now a good while, and nothing is going to change them a week from now, 2 weeks from now, nothing in this proposed change and ordinance that should not happen. Well, it happens today, next week, or next month. And what we've had to tolerate as a community in terms of the behavior that has been outlined very well should not be allowed to continue even one day beyond that. I encourage you to take the immediate action on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. Ms. Anderson.
Yes, my name is Ursula Anderson. I'm a citizen. I'm here because, you know, I vote for you guys. And I want to believe that the people that I vote for actually care, not simply about me, but about the community at large. We believe in you as our elected officials, And excessive use of force in Portland is not a new issue. There has been a lot of pain throughout the community. I read about it before I even moved here, but I believed in the city and its leadership. The ordinance is designed to safeguard the public from the police force that is clearly overstressed. Something is wrong there, and citizens are being harmed unnecessarily. Commissioner Fish, you brought up this is the time of the budget and asked, well, how much will it cost to implement this ordinance? Think about the cost of the settlements for excessive use of force. It pales in comparison to that. So their budget actually could get a bit bigger. So what I'm asking, and many people before you today, whether you are a first-time elected official, stand by your community. Whether you're a seasoned politician, stand with your community. We need to hear your voice saying you hear the pain of the mothers, the fathers, the cousins, all the people that have been struck by this issue. And again, it is cross-cultural. This has been an issue that has brought us together as a community. So please safeguard every life that is part of your citizenry, part of your responsibility. Safeguard our public funds, because budgets are tough. We're all living with them too, from these excessive settlements that are very unnecessary. You have the power to make a decision today. You have the authority to do so. We gave it to you because we voted for you. Take action today. Let us know that you believe in us as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Carla.
Next three are Veronica Clark, Sally Jojan, and Michael Bingham. They will be followed by Matthew Denny, Ron Peterson, and Patrick Nolan.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Ms. Clark.
Hello, Council.
You can move that. It might move a little bit, yeah.
Thank you very much. My name is Veronica Clark. I've been a long-term resident of the Portland area since 1982, prior to the first gang-related shooting. And so I've had opportunity over the years to look at the different law enforcement processes that have been applied in Portland. I could be here all year telling you stories of police abuse, but I want to be able to tell a new story of positive change. I'm using my voice today to add to our united front that you see behind me, but I want my voice to really be heard for the voices that cannot be heard today because they're silent, the hands of Portland police. The people are sick and tired of waiting for change. Some folks present here have been waiting and working this struggle longer than most of us have been alive. We have expectations, and we're not going away. As the matriarch of a biracial family, my four sons deserve all the safety and access to opportunity that this beautiful city and state can provide, along with every other young person, regardless of race or class. But they are alienated. As sons whose father served in Desert Storm, this breaks my heart. They are beautiful and want to contribute. We need a police force that is chivalrous, not methodically abusive. A vote of ordinance and oversight power for IPR would be a good step in positive change for the community and for Portland Police. And I just would like to finish to say, nothing will ever be enough, but, you know, we'll take what we can get. Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Ms. Jojan?
Sally Jochen.
Jochen.
Yes.
Sorry.
As we all know, police killings, like the one that happened this year, don't just happen in a vacuum. They happen if there's a climate of violence in your police force. And so I'm going to go back 6 years ago to a story of something that I think contributes to this kind of climate that ends up in more serious police brutality. 6 years ago, my son and his wife and three grandchildren were attending a peaceful political demonstration here in Portland, and for some reason, the police were very nervous about it. And when my son wanted to leave and asked a nearby police officer how to get out because they were kind of blockaded in, this police officer, I don't know what he was nervous about, but he pepper sprayed the whole family, including the two young children who were in their parents' arms. They did go to the Independent Police Review Board, but really that body was not at the time or now able to really pursue what would have held the police accountable. And well, they were interested in trying to change the pepper spray policy, but they sued the city with the help of the National Lawyers Guild, and in the end they couldn't get a policy change, which is what they really wanted. So they did take the money that was offered, $150,000, which the city could well use for other things. I don't see any reason to wait beyond today. I'm thinking, if that kind of thing was happening 6 years ago, and if this kind of ordinance had been put in place at the time, maybe many other unjustified uses of force by police and the very sad deaths that occurred wouldn't have happened. And just to finish off the story of my family, the police were wearing riot gear that day. And when they were, after they had been helped by other people in the crowd and kind of recovered from the pepper spray, as they were leaving, the young boy, I think he was 4 or 5, said, "Those guys back there were trying to get us. We should call the police." And I wish that we could go back to a time when that would be possible. You would see the police as your helpers and not be afraid of them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bingham.
Hello, my name is Michael Bigham. I'm the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. I come here today in support of the proposed ordinance, but like many in the community, I would say that this is just the start. There's much more to do. Right now, the CRC has two work groups considering specific recommendations for changes in the police bureau. One is a structure review work group. In 2008, Luna Feuerbach issued a report commissioned by the City Council to review the IPR and the CRC. We've reviewed that document and are going to come before you probably in May with specific recommendations for changes. The other is the Park report, which looks at shootings and deaths in custody. We'll probably bring that before you in June. And I would hope that the City Auditor and the IPR Director and the City Council will be as diligent in looking at those recommendations as this bill now. I'm going to take a couple minutes to go over what I think the current bill lacks. First, last Sunday, the CRC held a community forum on police accountability. The common theme we heard throughout that is the system takes too long. The James Jassy investigation took 4 years and basically is still running. And I hope that Aaron Campbell doesn't take as long, the Aaron Campbell case. Last February 10th, we heard a case, the Frank Waterhouse case, where we challenged the Bureau's findings. We still haven't heard back from the Bureau on whether they're going to accept that challenge or not. And I think there need to be definite timelines for both the IPR and Internal Affairs and the Bureau on how they handle cases. Somebody mentioned the reviews of shootings and deaths in custody. I think that we've reached a point where we need to have oversight of those investigations, an oversight by IPR. In Denver, the IPR personnel roll out with the detectives when there's a shooting and deaths in custody. And I think that IPR should be able to monitor those investigations from day one rather than hire a consultant later. I don't think that's productive anymore. And in conclusion, like I said, I hope you consider our proposals later on. I was one of those initial people who said, you need to listen to Rosie Sizer, you need to have her here in the room. But looking around the room, I don't see anybody from the police bureau here other than maybe the police association people.
No, they're up there.
Okay. I'm sorry. They were up there. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions because you've come before us, I think, in both work session and formal session. Mm-hmm. And I've found you to be thoughtful and you work hard to be informed and balanced and fair. Why aren't deaths, so this would be a next phase, mm-hmm. but what is the substantive reason given for why the IPR process is excluded from investigating deaths in custody? What's the substantive reason why it would be excluded?
I'm not sure I can answer that. I think at the time it was a political decision by the auditor at the time that put that bill together in terms of being able to examine those deaths in an atmosphere that wasn't politically charged. And he had set it up so that all the tort claims would have been finished before they had started taking a look at those. So all the cases they look at are like at least 2 or 3 years old.
And then this question is probably more appropriate for the auditor and IPR staff, but do you have an observation why this process wasn't activated with the limited authority it did have to investigate?
I guess you have to be more specific. I
mean. So it had the ability to review cases, individual cases.
Right.
Why didn't it, in your observation? Or
you're talking about shootings and deaths in custody? I think that was a decision by the IPR director at the time, I think, and the auditor at the time. I think there's been a definite shift. I've worked with both. Definite shift in how the auditor and the IPR director perceive their roles, and they're much more assertive than they were in the past.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Mayor Adams, yes? We have Representative Lou Frederick in chambers, and we traditionally, out of courtesy, have elected officials come forward.
Representative Fredericks, we are happy to extend you the courtesies of the House. Please come forward. Welcome to the City Council chambers.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Hello, City Council. Good to see you all. Although this situation is not one that I'd be coming forward for, but I did want to at least say a couple of words. We are in the process of making, I hope, some real substantial steps towards changing the kind of atmosphere that we have in the community. And it is an atmosphere that has been described by many as an atmosphere where the community feels as though it's under siege, that it's in fact an occupied force in the community. I hope we're able to change that. I think, again, these are some real steps, I think, that are possible, and this ordinance is one of those efforts that might do that. There is a sense of fear when you have an occupying force. Both the people in the community and the occupying force feel fear all the time, and fear doesn't help in terms of community. There's also a sense of militarism within that occupying force, and the language of militarism that shows up there also does not help with the community working together. We have been for a long time, and I've watched this over the years, an attempt to try to really bring community policing to our city, and we've seen some successes with that. I attended a meeting yesterday with the Metropolitan Human Relations Commission, which was great. I enjoyed that, watching the city, the groups do that. They gave a presentation on community policing that I found really fascinating, 20 different examples of community policing, at least 20, in Portland. But what I found very interesting about that was that there was a basic concept of what I would call paternalism within the approach to community policing that we saw there. There was a sense that there was a one-way direction there. The police were deigning to get involved with the community, that this was something that they were being part of, but there was not a sense from any of the presentation that I got that there was a belief that there was expertise in the community that the police could learn from. They could only teach everyone else. That has to change. And that particular approach and that atmosphere is something that I think we need to begin to understand, because a mutual respect is what is going to be needed. Whether that's going to be part of this particular, these particular, your ordinance or your resolution or not, that is the goal that I think we're going to start to see. And I know that there are police officers, because they come to me on a regular basis to say this is the kind of thing they want to see happen. This is not everyone in the police force saying this is the way we want to continue doing things. But we need to see a change, and I'm hoping that you will be working hard at that. I plan on doing that at the legislative level. You can expect to see some things, but you folks get a chance to meet every week, and we won't be meeting again for a while. But this is the approach that I'm taking, and I thank you for letting me come and speak with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to testify with us, and thank you for your leadership on this and many other issues representing us in Salem.
Thank you.
All right.
Next three are Matthew Denny, Ron Peterson, and Patrick Nolan. And they will be followed by Gary Clay, Kent Ford, and Ray Colbert.
Welcome to City Council. We're glad you're here. Mr. Denny.
Me? Hi, my name's Matthew Denny. I'm a citizen of Portland, and I'm a graduating senior in the Community Development Program at Portland State. I just wanted to say that I strongly support this move to strengthen the Independent Police Review Board. I think it's a badly needed first step in reforming the police in Portland. I have a couple personal anecdotes of why I'm interested in this issue. First of all, my father is actually a juvenile correctional officer, and he works in the front part of a juvenile correctional facility with people as they first come in. And so he's definitely dealt with youth before. And I think that it, as far as I know, my father's never used a beanbag gun or pulled the hair of any of his people that are coming in. And I think that it's absolutely reprehensible that a Portland police officer can do that and get away with it without any kind of reprimand. Also, I live just a few blocks off West Burnside Street and have lived near there for about 4 years. And as somebody who's lived in downtown or near downtown, I've had to deal with mental health issues, confronting people with mental health issues and dealing with those fairly often, as I'm sure anybody who's been downtown knows. And I can't help but get the impression that I'd have more experience with that than the average Portland police officer in some cases. So I have a few recommendations that I'd make that would further strengthen police reform beyond this legislation. I think, first of all, community policing is essential. I've read that about 90% of Portland police officers live outside of the city of Portland, and I think that's a number that needs to be lower. I also think we need to have officers with specialized mental health training again, so that if there's a situation with somebody who's mentally ill, they can be called in. And finally, I support provisions for drug testing and steroid testing that are not in this bill currently, but I would hope would see be put in place later.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Go ahead.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for having me here. My name is Ron Peterson. Sorry about that, Commissioner Fish. Anyway, I haven't had a full opportunity to review everything in the amendment, but I do know that from what I did understand, there are certain provisions that I would disagree with. I myself have had plenty of run-ins with the Portland police, and I've neglected to have had anything seriously bad happen to me. I know that under certain circumstances that the African-American community has not been as open as could be with the Portland police. I remember a time when I was driving taxi in the old Columbia Villa. There were a lot of Portland police officers that were actually afraid to go in there because of there was a good probability they would either be injured or they'd be dead. I would encourage the black community, just like the lady stated earlier, she was afraid to call. She needed shouldn't have the reassurances, which I think is a more PR necessarily than having another review board. I guess I'm kind of losing my point here, aren't I? I think in defense of the police, because I know the stresses that many of the officers are under, and I know I've never really been badly treated myself, they have their own review board, and I think if you open up too many doors that it's actually going to be disadvantageous. I don't want the police to feel like they have enough feelings of adversarial because it's just society as it is in general. There's a lot of things that in society need to change. I don't see this review board as being a positive thing. I was really sorry that I didn't see Chief Sizer here because I think she could have promoted her position a lot better than what I could. I thank you for the time.
Thanks for your testimony. Mr. Nolan.
For the record, my name is Patrick Nolan. I'm a concerned citizen here in Portland. I've come here today to speak about the IPR, of course. First of all, I'd like to say anybody that's been pulled over for looking a bit different or kicked awake by the Portland police are probably going to be happy about this happening. So you're going to have people behind you on this. I think for what we need to talk about with the IPR is it needs to be truly independent. That includes things like no police dictated terms, an elected oversight group, not largely city employees, having a different set of lawyers than the Portland Police Bureau use, having some sort of real teeth as far as having some sort of, well, this is wrong and we need that to change. I'd also like to see things like them having control over other police officers here in the city of Portland. The city of Portland pays for private security downtown that currently has no oversight. This is something that should be a part of this. We also have officers through TriMet and through other programs that PSU has security officers there that do largely police functions. They should also be controlled on this because, if you're in the PSU area, the chances are you will talk to them at some point. Beyond that, there are other things that we can ask for our police to look at. Our police contract is coming up. Drug testing, including steroids, is something that cities across the nation are already doing. Portland's a good progressive city and should be looking at that. Boston, New York City, LA are all doing this. The entire state of Massachusetts, their state police are drug tested. Review of our lethal force and excessive force policies are key to a trust in our police. And in addition, I have to agree with the people that have stated it before. We have a police force that doesn't live in our community. It doesn't have any. If we're going to create community here, we have to have people that live in our community and are part of our community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all for your testimony.
The next three are Gary Clay, Ray Colbert, and we'll take Channy Geigel-Teller. And they'll be followed by Ellis Exwell, Casey Jama, and Sam Subedi. Gary Clay, Ray Colbert, and Channy Geigel-Teller now.
Gary Clay.
Oh, here she comes.
I'm Ray Colbert.
Welcome. We're glad you're here. Mr. Clay, why don't you begin? Welcome.
First off, my name is Gary Clay. I've come here a man that's full of pain and a man that's really sick of being tired of what's going on here in Portland. I feel like when it comes to the Afro-American, the brown, the mental, and the poor, that there's a new gang in town that's wearing blue and a badge with PPD on it. I really do. There's a lot of things I don't understand what's going on, how things is happening in the city, such as Alfred Murphy in the killing of James Chassie. Why was this man still on the streets to shoot a 12-year-old African-American girl with a beanbag gun? There's no excuse for it. And it was a slap to the African-American community after this happened for the police association to march with shirts on talking about their Officer Murphy. How could they get away with that? How can you let them get away with that, Dan? Tell me. Some things about you I don't understand. You coming out to community churches now with your soldiers, but you're coming after a death. I'd rather see you in the community doing a birth than a death. You ask me if I'm mad? You're damn right I'm mad. Because I got to wonder each and every day if one of my kids going to end up being dead, end up being part of this, what we call the killing field that's popping up each and every day in Portland. So tell me, what is the solution? It can't be money. How are you going to value someone's life? I killed your son, I killed your daughter, you go a few thousand dollars. That's not the solution. Sam, you remember a few years ago, right here, at a police reform meeting, when a high official officer stood up and said, after so many years, African-American people think that we still owe them an apology for the killing of Kendra James. And you said yourself that you was raised up to be prejudiced. But when you got to a certain age, you decide not to be prejudiced. You decide to do the right thing. I just don't know. I feel like I'm living in a city with mothers against drunk drivers when I need to be living in a city with mothers against murdered sons. I feel like there should be a committee on a federal level to investigate these shootings. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Colbert.
Hi, Sam Adams. I'm a citizen of the community, and I'm a mental health patient. And just like the Aaron Campbell shooting, I found myself almost in the same position. I think that there needs to be better training in how police officers view people like myself. I cry not only for myself, but I cry for the many times that we as mental health patients, especially African Americans who are mental health patients, that we are still looked at as criminal even though we have illnesses that are beyond our control, and that's used as a stereotypical view when it comes to the police when they deal with us. I've had tasers pulled on me. I've had names being called at me. I've had things blown out of proportion at me. But first and foremost, I am, like I said, Sam, I am a member of this community. I am a very valued asset to this community, as well as anybody else sitting in this room and beyond Portland, Oregon itself. And I, as a citizen, am all for this. And this is for someone like myself, because I want to feel a part of this community. But in order to feel a part of the community, I need the police to view me as a citizen and not as a statistic. Not as another crazy lunatic, which I'm not. I have a different set of issues more than others, and I feel that there needs to be better training on how to deal with those kind of issues so that we don't have to have these taser shootings or people losing their sons and daughters or me losing myself and the people crying over me because they love me as a citizen because of a misunderstanding of with the police of how they to deal with me and how I'm to respond. I think there needs to be better training in those issues. And I'm not crying tears to make anybody feel sorry for me. I'm crying tears because of the many years that I have ran into this issue, and I could have ended up the same way as my brothers and sisters have. So I'm not only speaking on behalf of myself, I'm speaking on behalf of the many of kids and people who have these kinds of issues, who don't have a voice. But this is our chance to have a voice with this, you know, amendment and thing. And I think that we need to really, really take heed to that, especially for the people who are like me, living with mental illnesses and issues. So that we don't have these run-ins with the police, that we don't feel threatened, that we don't feel in fear, that we can't, you know, deal with the police as we should and respect each other as we should. I'm tired of this fighting. I'm tired of this, you know, not being able to communicate to each other like we should. because we have to all live in this world together. We are all God's children, no matter where we come from, and no matter how we're born, and no matter how we're looked at by a community or a force, we are still one community. And that's the way the good Lord made it. I think we need to uphold that, because that's the way the Lord made this earth. And in the law structures, we need to separate what is law and what is criminal and what is just a different set of issues that if you have to deal with how we are to respond. And with that, I just say this is a good thing.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony.
I'll say it. It's okay. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Shani Geigley-Teller, and I'm one of the newer members at Sisters of the Road. And I'm going to be really brief because I feel like our allies and partners have said everything just perfectly. But I will just, for the record, go ahead and say that I think it's really great that we share our experiences with you. But just to clarify that as an ally in the community, I think we need to make sure that people in places of privilege, white people, I can't sit here and tell my partners in the community, in the African-American community, how they should be reacting to certain experiences. So just wanted to clarify that based on some of the last testimony I heard. So anyways, my name is Shani Geigley-Teller. I'm a community organizer at Sisters of the Road. We're here today to stand up as a community with our allies to say that we are tired of being afraid of those who are charged with helping to keep our community safe. We feel that real community-led police accountability is long overdue. This issue is especially heavy on our radar right now as sisters, we are working to find humane, safe, and dignified solutions to the immediate problems of homelessness, including the possible implementation of camping guidelines. We understand that with new guidelines, there would be a new dialogue between people living outside and the police, and we feel like for in order for us to be able to trust, we need to see real accountability. The police union's attorney was quoted in the media this week as saying, we're in a difficult situation here, of course, we're not alone in the room, we have all sorts of people who are in the room with no stake in our bargaining process. I just want to say that that's part of the problem. Poor communities and communities of color, communities that have been historically targeted by Portland police, need to be seen as stakeholders, not just those other people who we have to deal with after the media gets a hold of an instance of police abuse of force. Portland belongs to all of us, not just the businesses, not just the police union. All of us live here. We deserve the right to be able to walk down the street in our communities and not be afraid of law enforcement. We need to be assured that when we have a concern, that concern will be addressed in a meaningful and transparent way. Commissioner Fritz was quoted as saying that public involvement and transparency in decision-making are two of her core values, and we just wanted to say that we agree with that sentiment, which is why Sisters of the Road is here with our allies, the Albina Ministerial Alliance and Portland Cop Watch, and we support the reforms that Commissioner Leonard has presented today, as well as the amendments that the community put forth. We acknowledge that these reforms are it's a good step forward towards accountability, but there's still much more work to do in order to heal the wounds and mistrust in our communities today. So we just thank you for hearing our message, and we look forward to working with you and our partners to achieve true transparency and accountability in the Portland Police Bureau.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Next three are Mark Knutson, Ellis Eckersall, and Casey Jama. Oh, thank you. Let's go ahead with go with Sam Sabetti. Right now, if you're still here?
He's not.
He's not. Thank you, Casey. Norman Porter. Oh, he just left. Okay, I'll call him back. Walt Nichols. Thank you. And they'll be followed by Norman Porter, Will Atkinson, and Lou Hall.
So who's up? Excuse me, Carla. Who's up right now?
I don't know who's here now. Casey Jama, Ellis Eckersall, and Walt Nichols. Mark Knutson, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Knutson, Pastor, Reverend.
Thank you. I apologize for missing the earlier call. I was in court with one of our young adults and his family and could not leave them, given the things we deal with around sentencing. So, Mayor Adams, the commissioners, thank you for having this hearing today. For the record, I'm senior pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church here in Portland, a member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and also a past president of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. And I want to say on behalf of David Leslie, the executive director, who I talked to this morning and last night, he's on his way to Washington, D.C. for hearings around immigration, but he wanted to be sure that Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon was named in the record as being supportive of these reforms, has been for quite some time. And so the letter will be coming from him as well in the near future. I do want to thank Commissioner Sulzman for being out in the community following the tragic shooting death of Aaron Campbell,